Thank you, Pastor. Got this all wrapped up here. I appreciate the good preaching. That blood has never lost its power. It's literal blood. Exceptional blood. Essential blood. Effective blood. And it's never lost its power. I was thinking as Brother Vic was preaching on the Lamb of God, I'm grateful for the emphasis all the way through the book. And by the way, I'm not substituting something for my Bible. I thank God for the Word. I appreciate having a copy of the Word of God. In this generation that we're living in, we've got folks that they prefer other means, but I love the book. I love the Word. I like to have the Word of God in my hand, and I'm grateful that it's the settled Word of God. And I started out on this road over 60 years ago. And then God called me to preach almost 56 years ago. And I'm grateful for all He's done through these years. And I'm very conscious of the fact if anybody gets helped, it will be God that gives the help. Amen. But I'm thrilled in the fact that God calls men to be His servants. Amen. And we're nothing but just vessels. Vessels have no personality, has no ability, has only capacity. And that capacity is determined by our obedience to the Lord. Amen. So I'm reading out of the book of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I want to read the first 6 verses, if you'd like to stand for reverencing God's holy word. The Bible said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Amen.
And so I want to preach a little while on earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. We're living in a day that personality religion is being propagated across country. I want to remind us this morning that it's not about you and it's not about me. It's all about Him. Would you pray with us? Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you for saving me.
Oh yes.
Thank you, dear Lord, for your call upon my life. Dear God, I plead your blood today for protection. I pray that you'd guard my lips. Help me to say all the things that are pleasing to thee. I pray that you bind Satan and his adversaries. And Lord, that you might get maximum glory for what's said here this morning. Thank you for the good messages we've heard already, the great singing, and for the spirit of the meeting. And I pray that you might continue to manifest your power and your presence. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. I have been in many meetings since God called me to preach, and I've heard a lot of good preaching. I've heard sometimes young preachers get up and they give the idea that they're going to straighten us old fools out about all these things that we've been wrong on all these years. And I want to say it's good to have a time where you just sit still and listen to God. Let God make the application of your life. And so I'm looking at this text this morning. He's describing the ministry of the new covenant and its glory. It's hidden from the lost in their unbelief. I'm grateful that divine grace saved us. Amen. Discerning grace schools us. And by the way, we're way low on discerning grace. I marvel today of folks who are embracing things that is contrary to the Word of God. And by the way, what God said back then is still valid this morning. How important it is. Divine grace saves us. Discerning grace schools us. Daily grace sustains us. And departing grace will satisfy us. Praise God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm glad for the day when he reached way down and lifted me up out of the horrible pit. Placed my feet upon the rock, established my going, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. And he is worthy. I'm great. And by the way, folks said, well, you know, Saul of Tarsus, he just had a sunstroke. I said, oh, yes, he did. It was the Son of God who smote him to the ground. And he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And by the way, God got glory in the salvation of Saul of Tarsus. I'm thankful for his ministry, but I'm reminded that Ananias said to him in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, verse number 15, that he was a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel. And he was to do what? He was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And so there's those who joined together under oath as seeking to kill him, but God kept him alive. And I want to say God's kept you alive to this good day that you might be a vessel meet for the master's use. Somebody said, well, you know, they let him down over the wall in a basket. And somebody said, well, what if the ropes had broken? They didn't. Yeah. And here's the reason they didn't. Because the gospel to the Gentiles was in the basket. Amen. But he's just a chosen vessel. It's not about Saul. It's not about Paul. It's not about you. And it's not about me. But it's about him who deserves all the glory and all the praise. And so we're reminded that we need to be reminded of who we are. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul is mentioning, again, his ministry. And he says it this way in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, in verse number 18. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'm grateful for the gospel, and the gospel has never lost its power. It's the glorious gospel. I was preaching at a place not long ago, and a man confronted me afterward. And I was talking about Philip reaching the Ethiopian eunuch, and he presented the gospel to him. And he came to me and said, which gospel was that he was presenting? I said, as far as I know, it was the only gospel. We don't preach another gospel. If it's another gospel, it's a false gospel. Amen. So the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so he's messed up about some other things too. But notice with me, he said, if you would please, in verse number 7, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let me say a word about the treasure. The treasure is the gospel. The treasure is the light. Amen. And could I say this? When the light has opportunity, it shines forth a beam. And by the way, it always shines in a straight path. It's not wobbly. We're not recovering fundamentalists. We still believe the book. Amen. Hadn't changed my mind on what God said. Listen, I might not understand it all, but I believe it all. Amen. And I say we're just vessels that have the treasure. It's unknown by human wisdom or knowledge. I read in the book of 1 Corinthians again. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and let's look at verse number 6. The Bible said in verse number 6, he said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And I'm reminded of this, that the treasure was mercifully bestowed. I believe this. I believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ saves a soul, God moves in.
Amen.
We are earthen vessels. And so God's saying, if you take care of the treasure, I'll take care of the vessel.
Amen.
If you'll do what? If you'll make much of the treasure. Amen. The treasure's what? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing more.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ and nothing else.
Amen.
Just
Amen.
Jesus Christ. We glory in the treasure.
Amen.
The treasure. God's given us something to preach.
Yes.
He's given us a message to convey.
Amen.
And it's the will of God that that message be sent to every creature.
Amen.
To every creature.
Amen.
And can I tell you, they're not going to believe until they hear.
That's right.
They've got to hear. Amen. Before they can believe.
Amen.
How important. But we have this treasure.
Yeah.
In earthen vessels.
Yes,
it's not about me, not about you. I'm amused sometimes of folks that they're promoting their products and they've got their pictures plastered over everything. Well, that's doing them in God, but that's amusing to me. It's all about, so look at me, look
yeah,
at me.
Right. Yeah.
You're kind of like the woodpecker that was pecking on the sapling,
yeah.
And lightning struck and split it right down the middle.
Yeah.
Said he flew away and said to his peckerwood friends, come look what I did.
Yeah.
And could I say, there's a lot of folks that are saying, look what I did. You know, except by the grace of God, we'd be in hell this morning. Thankful for the treasure. Thankful for the treasure that God has given to us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, I want to say, the way we function shows how we operate. Our flesh either conceals the gospel or reveals the gospel. Our motives conceal the gospel. Why do we preach what we preach? And why do we preach how we preach? And so the light is hid in the filth of the flesh. In the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, it's talking about reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed in the sin, but alive unto Christ. But most of the time, are you listening? Most of the time, instead of reckoning ourselves to be dead, we've just captured the flesh and try to do conflict with it. But we're to reckon ourselves to be dead. Flesh won't die that way. The only way to reckon it dead is by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So there's a treasure. The treasure is the gospel. The treasure is the light. And so Jesus said, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But notice, let me say a word about the vessels. They're earthen vessels. It was said of Saul of Tarsus that he was a chosen vessel. I believe this. I believe God chooses his servants today. I believe, generally speaking, everybody is called to be a servant. Everybody. That's a general call, but there is a specific call. They was down at the church at Antioch. Five men. And their names was given, and two of the names was Barnabas and Saul. And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called him." Could I tell you that there's a lot of fellas that are running unsent, not qualified. And by the way, I'm not throwing stone. That's not a personal issue. It is a principle outlined in the Word of God. And somebody, I was down in Milton, Florida, and the fellow said to me, when I was in school, my wife left me and said, I moved down here and got married again. He said, I know I can't pastor, but what do you think about me being a missionary or an evangelist? And I said, sir, it don't matter what I think.
That's right.
But let me ask you a question. Do you think God has a higher qualification for a deacon in a local church than he does an evangelist or a missionary? And he said, oh, but he didn't change his position.
That's right.
We've got too many today that's seeking Moses' seat.
You're right.
And not willing to do what they can. And by the way, don't you go out of here and say that I say a person's had a bad experience in marriage couldn't be used of God. I believe they can be used. I believe anybody who wants to be can be used of God. Quit trying to seek Moses' seat and do what you can for the glory of God.
Amen. Amen.
And so it's recognize this, that proper attitude of humility toward self. I don't deserve any of the blessings of the Lord. And it was John the Baptist who said he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. And we're reminded that we're vessels. We're just earthen vessels, but we're vessels so God can use us. And I'll tell you what you'll do if you'll be submissive to the Lord and obedient to Him. He'll fill your vessel. And when you meet somebody hurting, God will tip your vessel and pour out a blessing to others.
Amen.
But we're just vessels. So we are vessels so that God might use us. But we're earthen vessels so that we might depend upon God's power and not ours.
Amen.
We're dependent upon God's power. Amen. Not our power. Amen. Not our ability. God is interested in our giving ourselves to Him without reservation. So it's not just responsibility, it's your response to His ability. And so they were common vessels in those days. There were clay pots, clay pitchers, earthen vessels, and that speaks of humility. And by the way, those vessels were fragile, and those vessels were inexpensive. They wasn't worth much. Well, we had a good lesson last night on that. Inexpensive, not worth much. And so God can use, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, but God could use the crippled. God could use the blind. God could use the male, the female, the white, the black, the big, the little, the short, the tall, the fat, the skinny. That's not the important thing. It's to reckon that we are just vessels. Earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. And so we're to guard the treasure. And God said, I'll guard the vessel if you'll guard the treasure. Again, no ability within ourselves. Anything's accomplished, God did it. But He does it. He can't do it through a vessel that's constantly fighting to have the preeminence.
Right.
Constantly wanting your name to be called. constantly wanting to be recognized. It'd be good to take a back seat and humble ourselves before God and let God fill the vessel that others might be blessed and helped. The treasure, you see, the message is more important than the messenger. And the treasure is more valuable than the vessel. And the fortune is more important than the vault that holds it. And the light is more important than the lamp that sheds it. And the content is more important than the container. So God expects us as vessels to be clean. He was said of the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah 52:11. He said, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. We're to be clean that bear, and by the way, we're living in a day where anything goes in churches across America. We're living in a day of ministerial fabrication, spiritual stagnation, and moral degeneration. We got things that are going on in local churches. I'm talking about the fundamental independent Baptist churches today that's so contrary to that book that God cannot bless that. He'd violate His holiness if He did. I'm not your judge, and you're not mine, but I'm telling you, it's important that we stay put where God placed us. As Vance Havner would say, be faithful to the faith, be faithful in the fight, and faithful to the finish. Amen. Hadn't changed my mind about what God said about separation. I'm for separation. I'm not for isolation, but I am for separation. Amen. And I haven't changed Bible. Still got King James Bible. Only Bible I have. I'm saying to you, I'm grateful. I'm grateful just to be a vessel. Clean vessels. We'll do what? We're to avoid the contamination with the false. And that's why I can't preach some places. And that's why some places don't want me to preach. And that doesn't make me anything. But notice with me 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, let's read 2 Timothy chapter 2, this familiar passage. He said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15, and it reads this way. He said, study to show thyself approved unto the brethren. No. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Unto God. And by the way, we ought to be wanting to please our God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so I'm reminded again, he said in verse number 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase yet unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat like as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said, who concerning the truth hath erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so I'm reminded how important it is that we be clean vessels. And so, but we're to be empty vessels. Now be careful. We cannot be filled with the word unless we are emptied of self. And you will never be filled with the Spirit without being filled with the word of God. When I was a young preacher, I'd seldom ever go to any meeting that I did not hear somebody preach on the Holy Spirit and His ministry and how important that was. But don't hear much of that anymore. But I'm saying it ought to be more often preached today. Why? Without Him, without the enabling of the Spirit of God, we're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. I want to be a vessel meet for the Master's use. I want the Lord to use me. And so the constant overriding tendency in ministry is to call attention to self. Hello? Their vessels are to be used for the glory of God. And set apart for the glory of God. There's no miracle Are you listening? No miracle of anointing until the miracle of changing. I better say that one more time. Yeah. There's no miracle of the anointing until there's the miracle of changing. The scripture said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. And so we began with a earthen vessel. It's a empty vessel. It's not filled with personal desires or claims to personal achievements. And by the way, I think you ought to have some aspirations of God using you and being successful as a vessel for the message. But I'm telling you, it is God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God who starts the fire. It's God who fans the flame. It's God who creates the hunger. And God who satisfies the hunger. And so it says, we're to be emptied of self so that God can get glory when He does something through us. Amen. Vessels that are empty so that God can put His word in us, so that He can change us to be other than what we were of ourselves. J. Hudson Taylor said this. He said, all God's giants have been men who did great things for God because they reckoned on Him being with them. Luke chapter 24, after the resurrection, the disciples were on the Emmaus Road and they were troubled, they were distressed, discouraged, and in their conversation, Christ appeared. And by the way, He always shows up. When you get to talking about Him, He shows up. The Bible said, and He drew near. He who was near drew near. And every time He drew near, He manifested another aspect of who He was. He drew near and reminded them that He was a resurrection and the life. He drew near and reminded them that He was their shepherd, that He was their guide, that He was their refuge, and on you go. But He drew near, so He who was near drew near. Now we understand this, as believers, He's with us all the time. But there's times you're not conscious of His presence. And I'm not conscious of it. So He who is near draws near.
That's right. Yeah, man.
And not only that, the Bible said, He who was near, He drew near and went with them.
Yeah, man.
He just didn't draw near for a little visit. He drew near and manifested all He was.
Yeah.
It said in verse 25 that He began at Moses and the prophets and taught them all things concerning Himself.
Yeah, right.
What a Bible conference that was. I'm saying, blessed be His name. I like it when He who is near draws near, makes His presence known in my life, and blesses my soul.
Yeah.
So we're just vessels. Just vessels. Vessels only for the Master's use. Notice them again. It's a matter of the illumination of the vessel. In the vessel, the light is the Lord. And so these vessels are to be available vessels. Available, as they were in 2 Kings chapter 4. The widow woman was instructed to borrow vessels, not a few. And they're to be empty vessels. And they're to be available vessels. Empty so that the word may be put in, available so that the Holy Spirit may be given free course. I say to you, oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, oil is there. The Holy Spirit is there for all, not just part. And the crucible oil had no limitations. Every available vessel was filled. And we know what was to be done with it when they were filled. They were to pay her debt. Now you're what Paul said in the book of Romans 1. He said, I'm a debtor.
Right.
What's a debt? I owe the gospel.
Right.
I owe the gospel to every creature. He said, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I'm afraid we've lost a burden.
Right.
I'm afraid we're not as concerned as we ought to be about the matter of getting the gospel to every creature. You can't save them. I can't save them. But God, the Holy Ghost, can move in their heart and draw them to Himself.
Amen.
And so I say they were vessels but broken vessels. They must be broken in order for the light to shine out. That alabaster box of ointment was broken and his feet was anointed. Gideon had 32,000 soldiers. And the Lord said, that's too many. And so 22,000 was fearful and afraid and was sent back home. 9,700 of them didn't act right around the water. And God wrought a victory with 300 men. But it wasn't the men. It wasn't the men. I say these 300 men was going to deliver them. Find that back in the record in Joshua. Those vessels was broken that the light might shine forth. And by the way, that's why God allows us to become broken, that the light of the gospel might shine through, that we might be torches seen when the vessel is broken. It wasn't the men. They were too few to win the battle. It wasn't the pitchers. They were broken. But it was the fire of God, the power of God. And then I want you to notice the power. It said that the power may be of God. Back in our text, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God's choice of vessels, he chooses vessels to reveal his power. I remember having Dr. James Crumpton with me in meetings several times. What a great vessel of honor Dr. Crumpton was. He talked about being filled with the Spirit of God. And he said, I love Coca-Cola. I love it with ice particles in it. And he said, if I had a glass of Coca-Cola filled right up to the tippy top and someone jostled me, guess what would come out? And everybody said, well, Coca-Cola. He said, yes, if you're filled with the Spirit of God and someone jostles you, profanity won't come out. I'm telling you, there's a sad, sad day when we make so light and so little of the power of the Spirit of God in our life. Be not drunk with wine for its excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. A vessel meet for the Master's use. A vessel that God can use. Paul's determination was to get the gospel to every creature. The focus was on the treasure and not on the vessel. And the focus is on the Master and not on the servant. J. Henry Jowett said, a ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. And so remember that we're privileged to have this treasure. The treasure of the gospel in our vessel of clay. We can determine the emptiness of the vessel by our obedience to the Word of God. We can determine the availability by our surrender to God. But God determines the brokenness. It doesn't have to be a tragedy to be broken. And I believe that we're in the last days. No man knows the day nor the hour, but I do believe that we've majored too much on the walls about Jericho and haven't seen God. God has not run out of gas. God knows very well what's going on in your life and in mine. I want to be a vessel meet for the Master's use. I have folks saying things to me about when are you going to retire? When are you going to quit doing what you're doing? Here's what I want to have in my heart now and down the road. I want to have my hand on the plow and my eyes on the goal, singing, no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. Amen.